All upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Let me see if we get this right. Now, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, what I have in mind here is that if he was slain from the foundation of the world, there had to be a foundation before there was anybody here upon that foundation. So if he was slain, he was already slain in the mind of God, already chosen, foreknown, chosen, and predestinated to it. And it had to happen exactly according to the word, which was he was slain on Golgotha Hill when they nailed him to the cross and almost literally shredded his body with the cruel instruments of the whips that they laid upon him. And his blood was shed for our redemption. Now, after having lived on this earth to the time where he was about to be taken off, and fulfilled this very scripture, which was already there and had to be fulfilled in flesh. It had to be, because you'll notice that the fulfillment of God is in flesh. It is really in not just a vague sense of the term, but in a reality. Because everyone, he himself took upon himself flesh. The Son took upon himself flesh. We all came in the flesh. And we're going to end up in the flesh. Now, God doesn't have to end up in the flesh. He's back there in the pillar of fire when the Son hands the kingdom back to the Father in Revelation chapter 22. And from 20 to 22, it's all in the same area there. So what we're seeing here is that Jesus was predestinated to come in the flesh as the Lamb of God and shed his blood. Now, what I'm driving at is this. If it happened way back there, when you and I were merely the thoughts of God, and the foundation of the world had just barely been laid, and he was slain from that, it shows you that we've come to the material aspect. Now, if that was back there in the immaterial, to come to the material, is there any reason to believe that these emblems that Jesus said just before he died, take ye, this is my body. Take ye, this is the emblem of the sacrament of my blood. And if you are to do this continually, and will do it again, it shows forth my death till I come. Because you know he never people believe in the death of Jesus, but to talk about the resurrection, that's pretty iffy, because you can accept that he died. But can you accept that he's really coming back to take over? Now, you're getting to really, really know that one that came in this material form of flesh died. Say, yes, he's risen, and he's coming back. And don't you ever believe he's not. He's coming back. I know he's risen, and he's coming back to take over on this earth, and I'm going to have communion with him. Now, you see, that's what you're looking at. Now, my point is, if it was foreordained way back there and it's taken place already, we're commemorating it. We're going to do it with him. Now, the next thing is, will that communion ever, ever disappear, even in the New Jerusalem? I don't know. But here is a thought. If he's still the Lamb, and the Lamb's on the throne, and the nail prints are there, and the hands and the feet, the side in the temples, what's it there for? Now, another thing, this is a real, real, real tough one. there's a tree of life there. And the John said, well, the Holy Ghost said, the leaves are for the healing of the nation. I want to ask you a question. What's to heal? Huh? Don't answer me because you don't know the answer. I don't either. Brother Branham said it's to keep peace. What's to keep peace? The lamb's already lying down with the lion, and the lion's eating grass like the oxen. What's to keep peace? I can't tell you. Actually, I'm not even interested. Because if we're supposed to know, we'll know later. But my point is this. This communion is very, very important. And the memory is to be with us at all time. Like I said before the service started, just to you folk here, that how come our calendars, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, first thing should point us to God. No, they point us to mostly Norse gods. Woden, Thor, Freya, Saturn, of course, that'd be a Roman. Don't point to the true God. See? God said, take the word and bind them as phylacteries. Little boxes here, and you put them around your head. And as you nod, you go, blip, blip, bang, bang. Remind you of the word of God. Bind them on your wrist. Put them anywhere to make you remember. See, remember. Remember now that I created in the days of this. Remember. They remember not, God said. They remember not. They remember not. So this service, the communion, is a memorial. It's a memory service. It's to take you and me back before the foundation of the world. To see God's plan. To see it fulfilled. To see it memorialized now and waiting to do it with the Lamb very shortly. And is there a possibility of this communion ever ceasing? I'm going to tell you one thing. I will not be surprised if it doesn't. And I'll be a little surprised, and I'll wonder and have to ask the question, why not? Why should you not take through eternity the great thing that gets us there? Why should we not glory and exult in what is real? Because it is real. See, you're going back to Logos on this. You're going way back. You're going back to the reality. So that's our thought on communion tonight. I want to just leave it with you. It is very important. A great part of the span we call time in eternity, it all was there in the mind. And now will it go on? Well, if I had time and had my concordance, because I get a lousy memory, I think I can find in the book of Revelation they sing about the blood. They sing about the Lamb. And if he's there, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. And if I'm there, I don't see any reason why I shouldn't. In fact, I think that's going to be one of the best songs ever. So the subject tonight then on the communions, which the Catholics think they got a big hold on, everybody else, we own it. We own it. It's ours. And I feel real good about saying that. Not trying to exclude anybody. No, no, no. We're not close communicants. No, no. Don't exclude anybody. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody. I'm just saying, look, this is for God's people. We believe we are. We have a right. I don't see anybody. No, I don't see anybody else. Don't you do it. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to say you do it. You're supposed to. And if you drink condemnation, you'll have to pay for that. But you better do it. All right, let's rise at this time and know this is perhaps eternal. What we're doing started down here, go on and on and on and on. Never cease. And we have good reason to believe it won't, on what I've been talking about. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come forward now to partake of these emblems that you have given us to remind us of the sacrifice of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for people to take a little tiny bit, we realize how that body was could have been literally torn into small pieces, so lacerated. And yet knowing how small it is, typified by millions of people, millions of time partaking, we can say how great thou art. And thinking of the little sips of wine that people take commemorating the life, the blood that was shed and the life that comes back on us. Millions and millions, millions of times, we can say how great thou art, how great is that life. And we can say we're a part of that greatness that you extended toward us. And you did. And you gave yourself and your son to us. And now we have you as our great lover, and we love you, Lord. And we're so grateful we can do this, knowing that it came from eternity and could well go back in just the perfect way you want it with your people. We thank you for it in the bottom of our hearts, and may not one of us partake except in the knowledge of the Word. Our faith and trust in you, your faith and trust in us, and the Spirit guiding us. Mellow us down, Lord, and yet at the same time keep us temperate as we should be, and tremendously strong in our stand, which we take in love of you, and may it also extend in love to our brethren in what area and how you want it done, because we know that if it's not done according to you and how you want it done, then, Father, it's a lost cause. And our lives have been, no doubt, so much of the years that we had, so much lost. They were something like Samson to say, Lord, just give us one more chance. One more time, Lord, to do your bidding, to be what you want us to be. So, Lord, we bless each one in the name of the Lord. Bless these elements to them. And bless ourselves in the name of the Lord, scripturally and properly, that we are here as your children who went astray, lambs for the slaughter, but your Redeemer brought us back to the safety and security, and will now guide us into eternity in glorified bodies like unto our Lord Jesus Christ, for which we thank you. And this, in our appreciation, we take these emblems and glorify your name and what you've done for us. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Miss, at this time, just wanted to see how much I appreciate being with you. And I believe our fellowship has gone far, far beyond just knowing each other and loving each other, which is the world can do that, but it's in the fellowship in Him who is the Word, and that's what really counts. So the Lord bless you, and trust you have a good night's rest and be built up of the Lord. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your giving us your time tonight, Lord, that you are with us to help us study your Word and knowing your things, Lord, and hopefully going far beyond just those things which are surface, but going deep, Lord, into your Word, even as we know we are deep in your heart. May it also be reciprocated that you are deep within our heart. And, Lord, that you are motivating us and leading us to your own good pleasure. And we would appreciate that, Lord, knowing that. So help us to be more dedicated and above all, Lord, to learn to get out of the way that you may receive glory to yourself. And we give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Been admitted even by my enemies, and I think I have a few of them, that no matter how I preach, how rough I am at the beginning, I bring it right down to the end and show you just who you are and how you stand. And it's all in Christ, the good things of God given to us. All right. Always we like the scripture. We just read a little bit, and I'm not going to take time to comment. You know, I've been keeping this Bible for a long time, hoping that I'll be taken out of here before it falls apart. I'm beginning to feel like my Bible is falling apart. And the pages are sticking together. They're getting brittle from too much use. So you understand, eh? Oh, no, you don't. Not if you're my age. You just think you understand. But you will later. Paul says here, in verse 17:11, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And I've said that many times. You can come to the church of God, the house of God, and go away in worse shape than you came. And you can sit down at the table, Lord, and go away in worse shape than you came. That's why it says many sick and feeble and many die, because they don't discern the Lord's body. Now, discerning the Lord's body is a very, very difficult thing. Because who of us can say we really do discern the Lord's body? And then what are we talking about? Talking about the church? Are we talking about the body of Christ? How many people outside of us understand how Jesus was born? Created sperm that God wrapped around himself in order to give forth all his genes to make sure it would be the body of God himself. And therefore this one said, lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. Jesus indwelt that body. And then God came in and indwelt the body with him. Dual personality. Now, how many people believe that? Almost everybody really believes that to a degree. But where did Jesus only come in? If that was God and not Jesus, and Jesus is God, where are you coming in that one? And Brother Branham said, we're one, but not like your finger. Huh? It's like the bone in your finger, in the flesh. Oh, yeah. Pretty tricky, eh? They don't understand. Now, do they discern? Nuh-uh. Not in my books. Discern means to judge between. And to judge between, if you judge between, then you settle on something, right? Or you're pulled in a certain way. Well, all right. Okay. For first of all, when you come together, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Now, Paul mentions divisions must come. But he never stood for a division. He stood for unity. He knew there'd be people creeping in and pulling things apart. That's why Brother Branham said, how you ought to love each other, you love this word. Because you see, there's a unity there. See? When our little kids can describe things and tell you things that older people can't tell you because they've been brought up right, I love that. That means we're going to get out of here pretty soon. These kids are growing up real fast. How many kids did you have before you came here, Lloyd? None, did you? They're all born here and they're all getting married. Whoopee, whoopee. All getting married. That means we're going to have a generation so pure, they're going to walk in. Yeah. Well, absolutely. Come on, get with it. What do you think's going on here? Get back on your types and all. See some things. What about that little boy that Paul talked about? From your mother's knee, your grandmother and your mother. Ah, there in knee, you learned the word. Oh, and you're right down the line. Why, he put the stamp on that kid for rapture. Grandma, daughter, grandson. Three generations. We're in the fourth one now. Fourth deliverance. Oh, yeah, thank you. We can start yelling and shouting a bit before we take the Lord's Supper. Not that yelling and shouting is going to get there any higher. It sure make you feel good, though. You know, if you shout about the right thing, and there's nothing more right than this, I have no problem people shouting and glorifying the Lord. The only thing I don't like people to disturb services, but if you get carried away a little bit, we'll carry you back. Don't worry. You know, we're good to people here. Now, for there also must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That tells you right there, how are you going to tell whether the flock is up to snuff? Give them the word test. If I sat with every single one of you, got honest with me, I think I could find out in a hurry. I think I could find out pretty soon just where you stand on Godhead and where you are in these other things. It didn't take long soon after Brother Branham died that the people were sure down on predestination. At least some were. What have ye not homes to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall we say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I praise you not. He said, For I received the Lord, that which I delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup from which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. Now, he didn't say that the cup was a cup of blood. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. In other words, it testifies to what was wrought through the blood. And remembrance, the blood of the covenant. It's not just blood that was shed. It's the blood of the covenant. You didn't shed blood unless there was a covenant. And if there wasn't a covenant, you didn't shed blood. And if you shed blood without a covenant, you're just sick. Because you shed blood. You understand what I'm saying? The blood of the covenant. It represents what was accomplished through the covenant. Now, I wasn't there to make it. It's not my covenant. It's God's covenant and the Son's covenant concerning you and me. I'm the beneficiary. You're the beneficiary. Taking this shows the shed blood. We're under it. This is it. We do this showing we understand. If this goes off, you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, so it's just not shed blood. It's a shed blood of Jesus. Blood of bulls and goats won't do it. Blood of another person won't do it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when you take it, this recalls to my mind and makes me more confirmed in what I believe. And is a testimony to everybody else that this represents the shed blood of Jesus, who is called the blood of God in Acts chapter 20, who had this uniquely derived body that God wrapped himself in to give him the genes and the blueprinting and the rest of it, that this would be truly the blood of God, truly the Son of God, truly God could be manifest in flesh. This blood was shed. Accepted by the Father. It's over. It's done. That's it. God's satisfied. I'm satisfied. But that's the trouble. We're not. We don't believe God, do we? See, ever since Cain and that muddled up flesh, ever since that act, that one step of unbelief from behind the Word, it galls us, it nags us, it hurts us. That's why it takes a renewing of the mind. Brain baptized with the Holy Ghost. Your spirit that God allowed to convey it down to your solar plexus mind because you got one and down into your soul. Feeding the Christ within you. Bringing it back up in greater strength of revelation. Now, we're not talking about anything else but the truth, my brother, my sister. As oft you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. Till he come. Sure. Weren't for his death, you wouldn't have any hope in the resurrection. I can tell you that because resurrection means die and come back again. How can Jesus be resurrected unless he died? So this shows his death. He died. Now he's risen. Hallelujah. And the beautiful thing is he's there taking care of his own testament, his own will. What man ever died and came back and took care of his own will? Oh, man. Well, you can, and this is nice, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? Just, you keep repeating until it gets to you. You know, there's a certain preacher, I forget his name, he had a huge church, Pentecostal, up there in Denver, Colorado. They tell me he preached only 9 sermons. Preached 9, started 9 sermon again, 9 sermon again, just hundreds of times. His church kept filling up, hundreds of getting saved, speaking in tongues, everything else. They finally believed him. But Brother Branham said his ministry was such, one time, and you believed or forget it. He said, you show a native of Africa one time, 50,000 come in. You show Americans 50,000 times and nobody comes in. I just paraphrased the last part for him. He'd appreciate it. We got along real good. In fact, I could tell you some stories about how we talked about things and he went right along with the wickedness of this world. And believe me, we knew it was wicked. So, all right, wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's natural. That's natural. Paul was telling them they were doing it the wrong way. And when they do it the wrong way, of course, that's exactly what you're going to come up against. And so Paul was just saying that. Let a man examine himself and let him eat of this bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drink unworthy eats and drink of damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, and some people even die. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we're judged, we are chastened to the Lord, trained to the Lord, and we're brought to the shape where we should be, and that we should not be condemned with the world. And now, see, there's the thing right there. It's child training. See, Brother Branham said the last one in a child train. Child train. Before there's a rapture, child train. Everybody goes through child training, grievous though it may be. And if you're not child trained or son trained, whatever you want to call it, born one of God trained, you're illegitimate. What about the appeal all the time? Glory, hallelujah. Never sick a day in life. Glory, hallelujah. You got all kinds of money. Glory, hallelujah. This time. Glory, hallelujah. That. Well, I'm not against it, but I'm happy for them. But oftentimes you get these places where, you know, no training, no chastening. But you're supposed to be chastened. That means trained. The Greeks had a word for it. Teaching was painful. Yeah. Look up the original. You're going to find it meant to go through trials and tribulations. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and so on. So it tells you right there, when you come in unity, pray for each other, be happy that you understand, be glad, and know that this is a covenant of the Lord, and this is what we do in this service, so let's rise at this time. And the brethren come forward right away, and you all know how we serve the Lord's table here. There's no problem. We start on the to my left-hand corner, which I guess is the southeast corner. Come around down here to the northeast corner, over here to the northwest, and around. And there's one who serves the bread and two who serves the wine, making it easier. Let's pray. Merciful God, as these emblems come before us, we sanctify them, Lord, to this service, which is a very definite, somber, severe, sincere service, representing the shed blood and broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we commemorate his death in it, knowing that he had to die, but you raised him, and now the full will is fully effective. And this being so, Lord, how we ought to treat this service with respect and sincerity. And we all at this time pray for each other, Lord. Let each one in this church come forward, Father, with the sins under the blood, which certainly can be done by confessing to you and standing here worthy in the worthiness that you confer upon us, Lord, and the grace that you give us, and solemnly partake knowing that you died, that we do not have to die, you rose, that we could rise with you, and you are now even helping us by maintaining our position before the Father regardless of our own self, because you are our intercessor. We appreciate that tonight, Lord, so therefore our hearts are solemnized, and we thank you for this privilege, which we are so glad to do, until we do it over yonder with you in Jesus Christ's name. Solemnize this to us then, Lord, to the full benefits of Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us. Now as we repair to our homes, we pray you give the people journey mercies and a good night's rest, Father, where whatever has been lacking, Lord, by reason of stress or disease or age, whatever it has been, wear and tear, we pray, Lord, that you'll bind it up in this night's rest. Not that the night's rest will do it, Lord, but your Holy Spirit, even as Brother Branham said, healing lies within you. We believe that to be true, as that life of yours within us, Father, can repair and help. And may it set our hearts at ease and our bodies at ease and set us in motion, Lord, to serve you better and to praise your great and holy name for how wonderful thou art. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. There are not too many passages we read very often, you know, concerning the communion. But just reading again from John 13 now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which in the world, he loved them unto the end. And of course we know that Jesus had to go back to the place where he was previously, and of course with a far greater glorification than he had before he left. And you find that's written in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who with the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, now set down the right hand of majesty on high. And you'll notice also that with this glorification, there came a change in the priesthood from Levi to the tribe of Jacob, and of course, rather Judah. And of course, that brings to pass the full type of King David sitting upon the earthly throne where he was the prophet king. So Jesus now then goes from prophet to king, the great prophet king, which is. And at this particular time, of course, we know that with the descent of God, when the book was taken out of the hand of the Father and the seals were torn off and the book handed back to the Father left the throne and the Son is on the throne while God is putting all things under the feet of Jesus, which he's doing now by, first of all, bringing the church into subjection, because spiritual headship is here. And as the body and as the head was raised from the dead, the body must also raise from the dead in order to join the body, which it will, because if the head ascended, then the body has to ascend, because the body must be where the head is. And we're talking now not about a head as though we have a headless, we're a bunch of headless people running around. We're talking about the pyramid, the bride pyramid, where it goes up in the rapture and joins with the others who have been taken up to the throne somewhere, somehow. In the Psalms, it tells how those first fruits in the time from Abraham and different ones rose when Jesus rose, the graves open. They ascended on high when Jesus ascended on high. They sing the song of who is this King of Glory, and they sing mighty wonderful hosannas about that. So anyway, he knew he was going to go back there. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Now, I suppose there are different ways of looking at this, and you could look at it two different ways. And knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, that's one thing where God had placed everything in the hands of Jesus for the fulfillment of his plan. On the other hand, at the same time, God opened the door for Satan to take over. And you have a greater problem here than when the devil came to Jesus after the 40 days of fasting and said, now, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If you're the Son of God, jump off the temple here and make a big display so people will know who you are. Or he said, fall down and worship me and I'll give you a shortcut. You can have all the kingdoms. Give you a shortcut. Well, so now the door is open again for Satan to come. And he entered into Judas, and now there's going to be the big betrayal. So all things are really in the hands of Jesus. He's got to meet Satan. The Father leads him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knows he's going to go back to God. He knows what lies ahead of him, because God has already said, I'm going to give you a greater glory than you already had. And so he understands this now. So he doesn't only have the knowledge from the pre-incarnation. He's got a knowledge now in him that is past the pre-incarnation, where he now goes into glorification. And you know something? We have a pretty good knowledge of that ourselves if we just sit down and think about it. And he said he rise from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After he poured water in a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with his girded. And then cometh Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, thus do you wash my feet? What are you doing? And Jesus said, what I'm doing you don't know now, but you're going to know after a while. Just let it ride. And Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, well, he said, if I don't wash you, you've got no part with me. Now, how do you like that? You see, there's a covenant again. You don't argue with God. You find out what the covenant is. That's the thing. Find out is there a covenant? Is there something in here that is useful to me? Well, let's face it. God is everything to his family. Everything. You can't find anything he's not to his family. This great, powerful one of love and wisdom. And so you come to him in a right spirit. That's humility. Like a child you want to learn. There's nothing that God will withhold from you. I used to have a little thing I used to do, and I should get back to it. When I used to need healing, I'd take a book by Daddy Bosworth and start reading on healing. Just read, say, that's all, I understand now, I got it, and get up, and I was fine. Got back to it. I don't work in that realm of ministry, but that's no excuse not to have healing. You don't have to, you people here don't have to work in any ministry at all, except being good wives and good husbands and take care of your family. Give a good testimony, live a decent life, you got it all. Nobody lacks anything, let's face it. So he said, I got a covenant here, and you better realize you want to be part of the covenant. And Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Now he's gonna wallow in it. Well, healing is children's bread. Are you gonna make it the cake and the beef and the stroganoff and everything else? You know, people go hog wild. What do you want to go hog wild for? Just take it the way it is. Believe it the way it is. That's Gnosticism. The minute you start trying to improve on the revealed word of God, that's Gnosticism. Pretty soon you'll hear female voices. Not that you haven't heard them already, but this is going to be worse than ever. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needs not save to wash, but just wash his feet. But is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Of course, he's speaking of Judas there. Now, he said, you're already clean. That's why you just need to have your feet washed. Don't talk about a bath. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, just go over my whole body, rinse me down and wash. Oh, shut up. The covenant is from God's side. Are you going to listen to the covenant? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they're red, you're in a horrible mist. You can be white as snow. You want to listen to me? I got something for you. Everybody thinks God wants to take something from him. You know the word in the Bible, the dedication? It means to come with empty hands, wide open to get something. Everybody thinks dedication. Here I am, God, take it. Here I am, God, take it. God says, shut up and sit down. Open your paws. What do you got? Nothing. Well, I'm going to give you something. Huh? Woman said, oh, I'm dedicated to God. Hallelujah, called to preach. Hogwash. Dedicated to God, my foot. Dedication is only one term. Word, word, word. Huh? Yeah. I could say some things here for Bill Gates, but he wouldn't listen. I would waste my time anyway. Yeah, so I'm going to get me under the hose, Lord. Wash me all down. No, you're born again. The mediator's there. Confess your sins and forgive your sins. He'll help you. He knew it would betray him, therefore he said, you're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said, know ye not what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord. And ye say, well, for I am your Master and Lord. I'm not denying it. He said, you know that and I know it. I have the authority to prove it. If I then, your Master and Lord, have washed your feet, you also wash one another's feet. Then what is this a picture of? It's a picture of people. No, we're all sinning. Like Brother Brand said, backslide 1,000 times a day. Sin 1,000 times a day. Yeah. Is none of us not amiss? Our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Love you, Lord Jesus. Boy, I'd like to stick that guy next to me. You don't have to say it. That speaks louder in heaven. Your hallelujah, glory to God does. So Jesus is saying here, look, foot washing is a sign amongst the brethren and the sisters here, because the widows had to wash feet. Women wash feet, men wash feet. Absolutely. It's what you should do. It's the sign, look, I'm sitting here as a sinner redeemed by grace, entirely fallible, I'm tested, I do wrong, I do sin, I confess it, I'm no perfect person here, no better than you, I'm like you, you're like me, I wash your feet, you wash my feet, we pray for each other, because we sure need it. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. What do you think Jesus is doing as intercessor, to keep you in? And just a little bit here. Brother Branham called us Messiahs. You could call us right now little intercessorettes. Because that's what it's all about. Looking at you, say, well, if you have hurt my feelings, thank you. It's all right. I forgive you. And I hope if I've hurt yours, you forgive me. It's a matter of just washing it out. You know, you just wash them right from between your toes. All that malice and grub, the dust of malice. Bishop Pillai taught us what it was when Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet. People thought, well, if they shake the dust off, it had nothing to do with that. It means the dust of malice. Get rid of your hatred, your angers, as you walk the road with people. You know, and people do walk together. The Bible tells you to walk together. It said if one person walks alone, he falls down, he can't get up without help. So you better two people walk together, you got somebody to help you up. Like two people sleep in a bed, one's cold, the other can warm me up. Well, you stay there by yourself, and you just freeze. Unless you pile on the blankets or something. Bible's full of little homely things that just make you perk your ears up and realize that these are simple things, everyday things going on here. See? Now, as I've given you an example, that you should do as I've done to you. He said, look, every one of you made a mess. He said, Peter, you just messed up right now. He said, and he tells him, he said, look, he said, they are accusing me. And he said, they're after me to get me. And he said, I haven't done any wrong. What about you boys? When they go after you, remember, you have done plenty wrong. See, so that's, you've got a little picture here, what we're looking at. So he said, I've given you an example. God truly says, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent him greater than he, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So he said, if Jesus did it, I'm doing it, you better do it too. Foot washing is a legitimate commandment, absolutely, of God. Foot washing. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. See, now I tell you, before it come to pass, when it come to pass, you believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. Did Jesus send Brother Branham? Did God send him? Then to receive Brother Branham was to receive, actually receive Jesus Christ. To receive him is to receive God. Because he says right here, I send, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receive me, and he that receiveth me receives him that sent me. So therefore, when Brother Branham came on the scene after he'd proven sent by God, and they turned him down, they turned down Jesus, crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh. Yeah. And they turned down God.
Well, you see, God didn't send Brother Branham, or he'd have come to us.
Ha! That's a proof that God did send him. He didn't send a bunch of cutthroats. Denominational people. I made a note here, 14 and 12. Verily we send you, he that believeth on me, the works shall, that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So that's foot washing. Foot washing. Cheer up. Forgive everybody. He'll forgive you. Take it in your heart to say, this is the time that I wash it all away. Get rid of it. The dust of malice is washed off through the Word of God, because I've applied the Word of God to my life. I'm washing feet, and I'm doing this, and I'm taking the emblems the same way, because it's commanded me to do so. I do it with all the malice gone, all the anger's gone, anything I've got against anybody. Just let it go. Forget it. You aren't going to remember it anyway when you get to heaven. So ain't much use hanging on to it, because you can't take it with you. So tonight's the time to do it. Let's rise this night. The brethren come forward. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of partaking of these emblems and washing each other's feet, knowing, Lord, this represents your great sacrifice, and yet, at the same time, it represents the fact that you absolutely pleased God, your Father, and you gave him perfect satisfaction, so there is no other sacrifice, there is no other way, this is it, and we confirm it, knowing that even doing so now, we shall meet with you and partake again on the other side, and we appreciate that. And also foot washing, we know it's time to get rid of all little petty things and any angers or resentments and anything, Lord, that we may have as we walk this life, especially the the dust of malice, because we know that that is absolutely a horrendous thing. And just be content within ourselves with you and with our brethren and our sisters, and walk in the light and give each other preference and stand there helping and blessing as we ought to, because, Lord, You also gave us that example and even warned us when people curse, we are to return by blessing. How much more then should it be fulfilled as the prophet himself said, you who love this message, this word, how you ought to love each other. And we do, and we know that we do because our love shed abroad in our hearts from you reaches to each other and brings that circle closer and closer together. And we find this lovely unity of the Spirit as we have here tonight. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable knowing how as this little commemoration service carries on, Father, and is completed, it is well with our souls. We thank you for this. Help each one, Lord, to go through in faith, under the blood, full of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I read mostly the book of 1 Corinthians because, you know, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And he's the one that set the people straight, you know, as I said in 1 Corinthians, starting right off and putting the serpent seed in their place and showing the saints that, look, your one hope is Almighty God. And that hope lies in the fact that you're the elect. And so he talks to them in the Romans again that the elect will positively come to the place of predestination, which is a place of glorification. So I might just turn to Romans 8 for that because I like that passage. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us. And it was through love that he predestinated us. And Brother Branham spoke on that very richly one time when, just before he passed away, how that even a parent would do every single thing to make everything propitious to the child that was coming forth. He said, how much then would God do even that much more? For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. And in other words, the only begotten, uniquely born, and it says brethren. So therefore, he was a man. And Brother Branham identified, we came the same way as Jesus, except we did not bypass that body in that interim period. So the complete identification, Brother Branham preached the identification, is do you know your seed? Do you know your child of God? Do you know Jesus, your elder brother? Do you understand where you came from? Do you understand where you're going? Do you know your purpose in Almighty God? Do you see these things? And that's what I've been preaching on tonight. More of whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called to justify, and whom he justified, he also glorified. In other words, there's no such thing as you being born again without the essential experiences that God gives you, which is repentance, justification, sanctification, the filling with the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, if you look at predestination, you say, oh, well, who's going to get saved? He's going to get saved. You become a hard-shell Baptist. And the hard-shell Baptist never says that he's born again. He says, I have a hope. What's your hope? Well, the Word says so. Well, what have you done about the Word that it says so? Must be born again. Brother Brown said, apply the token. He said, it's fine to talk about it, but he said, do it. And that's where the hard shells are. They don't do it. So you look here, and you're going to find that whom God foreknew, and he elected, and absolutely brought into, is bringing to predestination, which is the very image of Christ in glorification, absolutely you've got a part to play. And what is that? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. So there, when you talk about being born again, the means is there. It's all laid out. It's like Jesus said, when the fish and the bread was upon the fire, come and dine. Waiting for you, hungry, come and dine. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come on, I got to wait for it. You want water? I got it. You want meat? I got it. What do you want? Well, you can only want, if you're my child, what I want you to want. Why? Well, if you're part of him, cat's not going to want what a dog wants. A dog's not going to want what a cat wants. Do you understand what Abel wanted, what Cain wanted? What's the difference? Seed. But they both had to go. So this is where you got to go. You got to answer to it. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now that answers the question. Is healing in the atonement? Sure. On what grounds? Well, if he gave his son, he gave everything else. What did he give his son up to? Death. Right? There's your healing. You know, people make a big issue of everything. They got to yap, 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 and crisscross, and fight, and fuss, like a bunch of stupid Philadelphia lawyers, like a bunch of Clintonites. They robbed the White House and everything else. Notice how he's sticking around? And just because you got born again, don't think the devil's going to stay out of the picture. Just because you got a new president, don't think for one thing Clinton's not going to stay around. Hillary's going to try for 204 to be the next you-know-who done it. I don't know. I said that Gore was going to be president. He really was. The only reason he lost it because, I think there were some shenanigans there, but it doesn't bother me any. But when I was thinking all the time of Gore, slaughtering the innocents, like the Democrats want, and this is Boxer in Ireland and all the rest of them want, I forgot that the church had to get with the state and run the money racket. Bush is doing it for me. So I'm voting for Bush. Well, the Lord's good, isn't he? You know, I wasn't really trying to make issue with these things because I missed the boat on that one. But I'll tell you one thing. Bush isn't going to change the picture on abortion. This little clip about not financing abortions overseas. What does that got to do with it? Yeah, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Look at America. Watch America. Never mind Europe. Watch America. They build the image to the Catholic Church, the beast, and we're going to have a pope out of here. You bet your life we're going to have that. Now, who shall any of the charge of God's elect? In other words, who condemns me to death? God says I'm righteous. See? Now, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather risen again, who is in the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, that's exactly what has happened in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You make no disagreement with it. Now, here's what Paul says based on that. After the same manner, he took the cup. Oh, he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. And he said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye also, as oft drink in remembrance of me. For as often ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show for the Lord's death till he come. Now, joining Romans 8 with 1 Corinthians 11, you can see positively that the Lord's Supper can only be taken legitimately by the bride. Now, it's not illegitimate that the food is virgin taken on the grounds of death and resurrection in Jesus Christ. But that is the second picture, which does not come near the first picture, which is the bride, which is 100% predestinated to the place where God wants that bride, and Paul is dealing with the bride, because he deals with the bride. This is what it's all about. Those elect ones that are positively predestinated to the church, the true church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, therefore, my point is this. When the bread is broken and the wine is drunk, you go back and see that this was for the foreknown, the elect, the predestinated bride, and they must do this in order to recognize this is their ransom. That's their ransom that was paid and their sealing to the life coming back on them, whereby it is completely fulfilled that they will absolutely be raised and glorified with Christ, that where he is, they will be also, and also according, as this must not be taken in vain, it must be recognized that there is a life wherein there are obligations to serve God in the way and the manner in which he wishes to be served, and he's made it very obvious to us, so that when you come up in the resurrection, as Paul very beautifully brought out, and he said, there's one fish of flesh, there's one of birds, there's one of this, and there's one of man. And then he said, there's also in the heavenlies. Now remember, the animals and the body came out of the soil, and Abraham was to have two types, one of which innumerable as the seashore, the sand on the seashore innumerable, and one as the stars in the heaven. So therefore, you're talking of the flesh of beasts and animals, this and that. And he's talking now in terms of resurrection. And death is not going to overcome us. We're going to come back. And then he goes to the stars, the sun, and the moon. And he said, there's one glorious stars, there's one of the moon, there's one of the sun. And he said, so also is the resurrection from the dead. You go down like animals, and you go back to the soil. But you come up, and when you do, your body is glorified, and you're not like the sand of the seashore. That's more or less like, I would say, foolish virgin coming in, the second resurrection. But he said, now, there's the glory of the stars, the sun, and the moon. And he said, one glory differs from another. And there's where I understand, in my own thinking, that in the resurrection, we are placed accordingly and according to how we fulfill the work of God by the Word of God through the help of the Holy Spirit to do what He wanted us to do and ordained us to it. Wherein the Scripture distinctly says that you can lose your crown. And Paul mentioned there's a crown laid up for him and he wanted no one to take his place. Not that our place can be actually taken, as though, you know, but you could call a position, I would say, could be lost. For the Bible teaches very directly that there is the necessity to walk in that light and to strive earnestly because only one person, Paul says, win the race. And so strive that you may win. And Brother Branham said, if only one person was going to make the bride, the rapture, in your part of the town, and there was 100 people, for all I know, sitting there, and they said the same thing, you have to believe for yourself, if there's one, I'm going to be that one. So therefore, the Lord's Supper is a way of bringing to our remembrance the elect children of God, how they gain all of this from God, and where they end up, where they are glorified as Jesus Christ, and they are actually then positioned according to what we see in Scripture, that there is that area in there where we positively can gain or lose certain things. Like, as I said, Jesus was the first begotten Son of God. And let's face it, the first son inherits actually the half of the Father's valuable possessions, but he's not the Father. Now, what if Jesus had it forfeited? Look what Adam had. Look what he forfeited. Look what Satan had. Look what he forfeited. So I'm saying there is such a thing as you and me actually not gaining, and there's parable after parable concerning this. There is, without a doubt, in the Bible, a place in there where you and I believe that God will reward us. In other words, sowing is reaping. And we will not only sow and reap in this life, the Bible warns us about that, the good things, the right thing, but also in the life which is to come. So let's view the Lord's Supper in the broadest sense possible. That taking these emblems that signify so much actually covers the whole gamut. And that's why Brother Branham said, you examine yourselves, and that's why he agreed with the ancient fathers that only those full of the Holy Spirit were entitled to it. Well, that's elect, and those entitled to this are those that believe the Word. Because the Word says, take ye, this is my body, and we understand this much. So I'm just trying to lead us a little deeper every time we talk about these things, into a deeper understanding, into a greater appreciation, and knowing that there's so much more back of what this little commandment of God gives for it. So it's not something that you and I can just say, well, I can or cannot, or I can do it lightly, or it doesn't matter, or I can think of this. No, you can't do that. This is very specific. So if you talk about his body, you better know what you're talking about. When you talk about that blood, you better know what you're talking about. In other words, why am I doing this? Because it's the blood of the covenant. I heard a man the other day talking about that, and I said, hey, that guy's onto something. He's the first guy I heard talk about that. Everybody talks about the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. What are you talking about? It's the blood of the covenant. God interposing himself in his son. Jesus dying upon Calvary. You're talking about blood that frees you from any condemnation whatsoever. Fulfills the law completely. Puts you right in the presence of God. Glorified. glorifying him and him glorifying you. Father, become. So that's what I'm talking about tonight. This is bigger and deeper than people want to realize. You just simply don't pass this off. Well, this is something to me to remember. It isn't it? Let's stand at this time, and then the brethren come forward. Let's pray over these. Heavenly Father, as we partake tonight, may it be with a complete understanding, even if it is just with awe, knowing what these emblems stand for, not able to fully comprehend what we have apprehended as truth tonight, knowing the reality, but believing, Lord, by your Spirit, we can not only apprehend, but truly comprehend right down to the depth of our souls until it comes back with a life that is manifestly a life, Lord, that you have within us and that we are showing for it. Help us, Lord, to get down to the basic reality of life, that is to your word, dedicating ourselves to it, thereby knowing that our sowing is complete in you and your word will not return unto you void, and it will not return unto us void either, because there's a reaping here. May your children tonight, Lord, realize they're free from sin. Forgive us for anything, Lord, that would stand in our way tonight, Father. Whatever it may be, we pray that it shall be taken from us. Help us to have any roots of envy or bitterness or any thought of iniquity within us, Lord, or any way we might try to vindicate ourselves, or any way, Lord, that we might be negative or be influenced in the wrong way, Father. In other words, Father, we want to know that we are how you want us to be, and we are doing that, Lord, you want us to do. Because we know that our standing before you is perfect, Lord. But we should bring our state up. And by your help, Lord, we are bringing our state up to where it is in the light of this hour. Even as Brother Branham was so careful, Lord, so minutely careful, knowing that he'd soon depart this life, that there wasn't anything that he wasn't ready to make right and to do, no matter what it cost him. And telling us the same thing, Lord, help us to do that. We pray so there'll be no hypocrisy among us. There'll be no looking the other direction. There'll be no get blinding our eyes. There'll be nothing, Lord, that is incorrect of us. We pray, Father, that because we have the life and the word, that we may be those living epistles read and known of all men. And help us, Lord, tonight as we take these emblems, that we will not do it in any way, but in our hearts, the way you want us to be, and our lives are right. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Well, we might take a little scripture here, and then we're going to take the emblems that are allotted unto us. All right, speaking of in John the 13th chapter, verse 21, when Jesus had said thus, he's speaking in terms of the relationship of the, we might read that, starting at verse 7, after foot washing, Jesus answered, "What I do is thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And Peter said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Of course, you know, there's one thing about it. Peter was really right there about that, about the hands and the head, because they sure go together, you know. But he might as well see the feet were already in the water, so he didn't have to mention them. But by the time you get your head and your hands and your feet right, you know, you're doing fine. You're really doing fine. You'll be right up there the way the Lord wants you. And Jesus said, "He that is washed needeth not save, but to wash his feet is clean every whit. But now you're clean, but not all." So, all right, there's a once for all cleansing where God's forgiven you, completely justified you, And from that time, seeing you through the blood, scatter sin till there be no evidence. And all you have to do is to come to the Lord when you sin and ask for forgiveness. He forgives you. But remember, what you sowed, you reap. It's the only thing that you don't sow and reap for, because it already was sown in you, is death. That's been taken care of. But you have to walk a certain way. So Peter said, my feet, my hands, and my head. And believe me, if they were really under the power of God, what a great thing that would be. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. But after he had washed their feet, taken their garments, and was set down again, he said, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, because I am. Why was that? Because he is the head of the church. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, all you have to do is look at the life of Jesus and start doing the same thing, but don't get involved with a ministry. You can't have a ministry, but you can see how he treated people, how he spoke, how he carried himself. But don't try to think you can replicate the ministry. We're talking about life. Ministries are gifts. When you're born, you just don't have things that you're born with when it comes to the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. The only thing you have is that seed in you. Then you got to be born again. And if God wants to give you gifts, that's great. Everybody, Brother Band said, doesn't pray for the sick. Everybody doesn't speak with tongues. Everybody doesn't prophesy. But everybody can be a witness. Everybody can tell the truth. Everybody can do all the things that Jesus set forth as his example, which is a light. As Brother Branham said, it's just a natural living in the Spirit, which it is. Now, for I have given you an example, you should do what I've done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. Now, that's a lesson in humility right there. Paul the Apostle was very careful. When they pushed him, and they pushed him very hard, he said, I could boast, he said. But he said, I'm not going to boast like you guys. He said, I'm going to boast in the Lord. And he began to tell how God took him through as he laid aside his life and got out of the way. And he wasn't hesitant to say, well, there's apostles out there. I want to tell you something. I'm vindicated. And I know Peter and James and John, they're all right. They're to the Jews. I am to the Gentiles. And he stood right up. Now, people might think that's arrogant. That's not arrogance. That's humility. Because you're saying what God said and doing what God wants you to do. Anything else is cowardice or pride of some description. So proud we can't acquiesce to God. Something wrong somewhere, wouldn't you say? Now, he said, these people, you must remember, don't try to outdo me. You remember one of my favorite sayings that people try to out God, God, out Jesus, Jesus, out Word, the Word? This is where it comes from. Don't try to outdo me. Don't do it. And that's where the Gnostics came in. They tried to get ahead of him who is the Word, the one whom Paul was declaring. So they tried to get ahead and outshine him. They tried to be somebody. Now he said, if you know these things, happy are you to do them. Now that's very literally said there. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lift up his heel against me. Now, this is something here that is very interesting. He said, I've chosen this one. Well, now, if you go back in Scripture, that's easy to understand. There never would have been Moses without Pharaoh, any more than there would have been Abel without Cain. There never would have been the tree of life without the tree of death. There never would have been God coming down the garden except Satan came down. Always the two seeds, always the two spirits, always the antagonist and the protagonist. There's always one for God and there's always one against God. There's the same in reverse, one against the devil, one for God. It's there. You can't get away from it. It's just there, period. And he that eateth bread with me will lift up his heel against me. Now, hey, just a minute. If there wouldn't have been a Moses without a Paul, there wouldn't be a Jesus without a Judas. And if there weren't a Judas, how in the world could God have been glorified any more than if there weren't a Pharaoh? God couldn't have been glorified in the time of Moses. And if Cain hadn't been there to kill Abel, how could the blood of Abel speak better things? You know? Speaking life, the fact that he shed his life. So, here's a lesson right here that, and I've learned it to a good degree. I never learned it before. To really see God in the things that really can bug you and really make it tough on you. That you can realize that God is in it. And God had to be in it because the betrayal of Jesus was absolutely foretold hundreds of years before it took place. And that's part of the way that he fulfilled the word of God, which is suffering. And that's in the scripture, you know. You know, Joseph had to wait his time until the word of God came to him. We have to bide our time in the judgment many times the word of God comes to us, liberating us. I've learned that, and I'm happy. I didn't learn it quick enough, and I'm still barely. But I've learned, and I thank God for many things that just drove me bugs. Got me angry. But now you see, that's so stupid, because I could have learned this. We don't have to learn by experience. What we should do is experience the Word of God. To learn the Word of God is correct by experience is the dumbest thing in the world. And if the baptism with the Holy Ghost makes us convinced as though we had our body that would have come from our portion of God, eternal and ineternal, commensurate. That boggles your mind, doesn't it? Say, hey, where have I been the last, 80 years out of my 86, what is that worth? At least 70, because I got saved when I was about 17, 16 years old. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Say, well, when are we going to learn? Well, now's a good time to start. Got something in mind? Check the Word of God. Something bug you? Check the Word of God. Why would you do that? Because nothing has fallen you but's common to everybody. See how somebody acted. See what God says about it. So he's telling you here that this foot washing is a time when you realize that fulfilling the scripture, because it says here, but the scripture might be fulfilled. He eateth bread with me and lift up his heel against me. And let's face it, who is it that disappoints us most? The people we're around all the time. Well, I want to say this anyway, and I get it off my chest because it's a compliment, and I should always compliment people. But all my life, I have been amongst people since I was 16 years old that blew the trumpet. Ta-ta-ta-ta, I'm a Christian. Ta-ta-ta-ta, look at me. Oh, boy. Today, I see the finest of the fine. And I have never been around people that I appreciate and love and believe are genuine people. And so, I'm so happy to know that this, my years are just about putting me down the drain. I'm all but gone. It's so nice to know people that are genuine Christians. I believe with all my heart I know that. And at the same time, I also know that as God was in Jesus, the devil was in Judas. And at the end time, where the light shines in darkness, you'll find some of the most unmitigated, atrocious people. I won't tell you. It is just absolutely too disgusting what I could tell you. What suddenly came to my mind the other day about a preacher. I knew his name at one time, but thank God I've forgotten it. And I don't know where he is. But if I were to tell you what he said and what he did, well, I wouldn't want you to go home tonight and throw up. But I'm not kidding. I'm not lying. You can't believe the utter darkness of a man's soul. Can't believe it. Stand there. Represent God as a pastor. Well, there are false pastors. There are false prophets. There are false teachers. Ooh, lots of false teachers everywhere. And there's false evangelists. Oh, yes, there are. A few false prophets thrown in the bargain. They're out there. But here is the time that foot washing, you have to recognize the one lump. You have to recognize that there are people that they just aren't with it. God's not with them. It's a rough time. But you wash each other's feet in love. Everybody leveled. Jesus leveled himself. We shouldn't have hard to level ourselves. And we shouldn't want to take authority over anybody. I never did believe that the millennium is a place where people rule over anybody. As Brother Branham said, I know I said it one time myself, who wants to rule over anybody? Man, if I can rule over my own spirit, I'm better than he that takes a dozen cities. For how many there are. So the Lord bless you. May we take the communion and the foot washing in the spirit in which God gave it, which was condescension. The great one with a great gift in condescension of grace. And we recipients of that grace to share the same grace with others. So shall we just rise at this time? The brethren come forward. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we partake of these emblems, we know it must be with sincerity and respect, Lord, and with the understanding of your word, that there are no great ones amongst us, but him who is here, even you, Lord God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, having come down here, and now in your church and heading it, bringing all things under the feet of Jesus. May we realize that, Lord, that this foot washing service is actually placed in such a way that your Son himself could be here, and we're only too glad to have our feet washed and to wash each other's feet and to partake as partners with him. And whatever is your plan for us, Lord, may we not miss it, but may we with great joy participate in all that which not only comes to us, but sometimes we feel befalls us in humility and the grace given us, and love each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brethren, start coming, brothers and sisters.
We come tonight, we'll be singing the hymns of glory.
We'll just take a little scripture over here. Maybe I can find something in here in Acts, if I can see clearly enough to read. I'm going to have to get one of those great big Bibles one of these days and, you know, pretend that I don't have it. But, you know, I won't pretend too hard, don't worry. All right, I'm going to read in Acts just for a change. The second chapter in 22, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man. I thought he was God. You think this person made a mistake, Luke? I don't think so. He was a companion of Paul. He sure was a good scribe. A man of God. That's what Paul said he was. A man Christ Jesus. A man of God among you by proved a God among you by miracles and signs and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself well know. Him being delivered, now watch, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Notice that, counsel, foreknowledge, predestination. That's what I told you tonight. You have taken in by wicked hands of crucifying slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning my soul, foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad more miles than my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast known me, known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Oh, what about today then? Seeing him face to face. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath, and what's that, an oath yet? You know what that is in the Hebrew? He interposed himself. God came down and told him. God came down and told him, interposed himself. Same as with Abraham. That of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit in his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that Christ's soul was not left in hell, neither did Christ's flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, over all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, you shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David himself was not ascended to heaven, but he said concerning the Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Just want to say this about the Lord's Supper. You remember his death till he comes, the shedding of the blood. Do you realize that no death, no resurrection? No death, no resurrection, no preeminence. No death, no resurrection, no word of God bound to come to pass. No death, took the blood to do it, he had to die, and then a happy resurrection, and now at the right hand of majesty on high, he is the testator, rather the executor, of his own testament. He had to die to put it into effect. But God worked in and through him to such an extent and in such a way, with such perfection, that God himself was perfectly satisfied. This is what people call, the theologian, the satisfaction of God, as it says in Isaiah 53, and when he sees the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied. God was satisfied. Now, what was in God to demand that satisfaction? See, that's where you and I have to understand Paul told us about it. He said the cross to the Greek is foolishness, and to the Jews a stumbling block. But unto us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Telling you, see? So, he had to die. Determinate counsel foreknowledge, predestinated. Now, just a minute. Brother Branham said, if God gave a command, he had to make a way for it. God had this. He made a way for it. That's why Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And you can't come to him now if he weren't ascended. And he couldn't be ascended if he didn't die. So, when you take the Lord's Supper tonight and realize the body was broken, the blood shed, that this was the gateway to heaven. That the river of life is a river of blood. The life was in the blood. And the way of sorrow became a way of joy for you and me. So we thank God tonight from all the bottom of our hearts that God did this for us. And the Son acted in the capacity that God desired. He came and fulfilled the will of God, a will that you and I could not fulfill, but we became heir to and recipients because of that grace. And remember, God so loved the world. That's the true mankind. The true sons and daughters that he gave, the only begotten Son. Now when God gives, as the Bible said, every good and perfect gift is from above. Jesus said, I am from above, you are from below. Right? It's a good and perfect gift of God came. And now that same life is ours to confirm us back to God, live the life here, and come up in the resurrection. And you know what? Infallibly proven that Brother Branham was an end time prophet to the Gentiles. And his message was the presence of God, the one who came down with the shout, putting the church in order. He couldn't tell us a lie if he tried. See, that's the strangest thing about a prophet. But read about old Balaam. He wanted to, but he couldn't do it. And you know, poor old Isaac wanted it, but he couldn't do it. I'm glad that God has taken such great measure, and he can't help it because he's bound by his own word. Now, I feel like shouting, you see. Now, I don't know about you people and the rest of the Pentecostals out there, but this is about the time I could start tearing around the building. What good would it do? I think it's better to have the Lord's Supper and to appreciate what he did for us, because that's a thing of the past, but the effects are all future from this time on. So, all right, let's come forward. The brethren come forward, and everybody come right along, as we usually do. And do tonight. Brother John will have my sermon notes for tomorrow morning and continue on. I'm sorry, John, I just read them all. All right. Heavenly Father, as we stand in this sacred, solemn part of the service, as we said, honoring your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, who is certainly glorified and approved in your total satisfaction for what he did. You enabling him by his birth and positioning to do it, and he did it. And now here we are, a complete community of the Father and the Son and all the children, brothers and sisters who are the children of God. And Jesus is not ashamed of us because we're all of one source. And that's wonderful. There's no pride in him. There's no rejection in him. There's just your love because he was your love gift and proved it. And now with your love here tonight, Lord, we project to the future that this, what we are partaking of, the reality that lies behind it, is taking us all the way into the resurrection. No more sin, no more doubts, nothing. A glorified body is coming up. And very soon, in short order. Because we know the time is short. You said it was, and it is. We give you glory tonight in Jesus' name, amen.